Great. It's about time, so let's call the let's call the meeting of planning and zoning for January 5th to order. Quorum being present, we can have a discussion of the previous minutes. Does anybody have any questions regarding the previous minutes? For December 7th.
Right.
They should be one of those patents.
As far as I can see, they seem fine. I approved the previous minutes of December 7th. Should I say that?
You made a motion.
You made a motion.
I did.
There's a second.
I get a reward.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, we will go to old business, Brian.
So, if you recall this new home being proposed at the corner of Bladen and Edgewater, they've submitted the stormwater management plan. It's been revised. But it still has one remaining issue to correct, and that's with the grading towards the front swale along Edgewater. So it's not done.
Yeah. All right. Yes. Before you go to anything else, we have two people here. Would you like to have your
item discussed, your application discussed? Get that done first.
Okay.
You're free to stay for the whole meeting, but if you'd like to just do this and
nothing to do.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead with the way
you. TJ, did you have any particular item on the agenda that you wanted to discuss, or are you just hanging out?
Hanging out, staying in the know.
Okay.
Very good.
All right. New business.
So 22-178. has been approved already for the interior renovations. 22-179, that's still under review. 22-180 has been approved.
Wait a minute. 179 is under review by whom? The county?
Just myself.
You?
Yes, it's an incomplete application.
Oh, okay.
So that's not been approved.
Doesn't require a
motion. Yeah.
But sorry. I don't want to dwell on this too long, but I just want to clarify for my own brain. If the county is not involved in any interior renovation or historic district homes, we don't need to do an application.
We don't know because the interior renovation may have plumbing or heat or heating.
Well, would they not tell us that or?
Yeah, it'd be on the application.
Yeah.
Well,
I think what Ursula is getting.
What I'm getting at is that in the code, interior work is not a requirement for an application through the town through, but again, I understand you're saying if it gets into plumbing, heating and big items, yes, it goes to the county.
Right. Well, what happens there? Yeah, it does. However, the county won't take it without us.
Okay.
So that's why a lot of these interior renovations will come if they're putting in a bathroom or something. It'll come to planning and zoning. So we can say yes, and we can go to the county. It's just a procedural step.
Should we make that clear in our book, or just let that float around? Like, I'm just wondering because anybody else that comes onto the board down the road, they're going to see that, and you're going to question why are we doing a permit for historic district interior work unless it specifies.
Well, okay, and maybe it's just a semantic thing.
Yeah.
They may say interior renovation, but what it really is it deals with electrical, plumbing, or structural.
Okay.
It goes to the county.
I got
so
that.
While we may go interior renovation, they may be going to the county if we don't care. Okay, what they're doing interior. What they need is something from the town so they can go
to the county.
The county so they can get these inspections.
Okay.
Okay. It's just, I think that's almost a semantic.
Yeah.
Like, wants to know if you got the.
Yeah. I got it. Yep. Yeah, we'll take care of it.
Okay.
Well, to Ursula's point, are you talking about?
You might want to change.
175-21. architectural aspects. Commission shall not consider interior arrangement or exterior features which are not visible or intended to be visible from a public way or waterway within adjoining the historic district, and shall take no action under the section except for purpose of, well, this may have covered it, preventing construction, reconstruction, alteration, restoration, moving, demolition of buildings, appurtenances. But it doesn't say anything about heating, plumbing, or any of that stuff.
Well, I guess because we know that those things are required.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the only reason if it shows up here as an interior limitation.
Okay. All right. So that's still waiting for review for whatever they've got to get done.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Sorry.
That's all right. 22180 is for tree removal, which has been approved. The next two permits, 22181 and 22182, they will be reviewed by this Planning Commission as well as the Historic District Commission, but they're not complete yet.
What type of sign?
So this is Audrey's sign.
It's Audrey's sign.
It's the Daughters of the American Revolution.
The Daughters of the Colonial Period.
Okay, of the
colonial. It is before DAR.
Oh, okay. Got it.
And it has to be before 1776.
And I think
the difference is very slight.
And it's a marker, right? And we think the size is going to be like 16 inches by 16 inches.
Yeah, it's like the cemetery.
Yeah, the bronze look, the cemetery markers we just did. But it'll be on a post, I guess.
They are the people who came and decided that I prefer that it be slanted on the ground.
Oh, okay. Like on a rock.
Yeah.
Okay. I see. And it's supposed to go right in between the
property Indian line because it's both tapped.
And the red line. Yeah.
Who's making the sign?
I have no idea.
But so this group is just a tentative idea. We don't have anything we can look at.
It's a national organization of the citizens of colonial America.
But do we have something we can tangibly look at?
It's in the folder.
Do you think? We have the folder.
We have.
I don't know. Did she forward it to you?
No.
See, that's.
We have an idea of what it will say, but we don't know what it's going to look like yet.
So we can table that till we can see it.
Well, if it's tabled, it's canceled.
Well, no. Yeah. It's just put off to the next meeting.
Oh, okay.
Which historic district.
Well, are you in a time frame with this thing? Do you have
yes.
to have it done?
Yes.
No, I mean, does she have to meet a time frame to get approval to get it done? That's what I'm asking.
I think she has a time frame to get it done, but I think when the design is approved by the by the group. The
24th of February.
Okay.
24th of February.
Oh,
the Historic District Commission and the Planning Commission will have their next meetings February 5th and February 7th. So by then, I think we'll have them.
And she was out of the country. The woman who's doing this from Ohio or something. And but it all started with Rogers Tavern. And this is the connecting tavern between Baltimore and Philadelphia. And we are midpoint. And they wanted to honor the taverns, because this is where all the Conestoga wagons stopped in town. And it's true. I have all the records of their stopping and all that stuff. So, and also they're looking forward to, in 20 years, Charlestown will be 300 years old, and it will be a big celebration for the state, not just Cecil County. So that's what we're looking forward to. So, of course, I'll be dead by then. So.
And then the one.
So it's just a square black frame, and it can be 12 inches, 14 inches, 16 inches, no bigger than 16 inches.
So when she
inches.
Gets back in the country and gets back to Ohio, then she'll forward the
design.
It
doesn't go to Ohio. It goes directly to us.
But you said she lived in Ohio?
I think she does. She was on her way to Ohio.
What will happen is it has gone to Historic District yet.
Okay,
They'll have to get it.
Okay.
Send it over. If this was nothing more than that, sometimes we just do a conditional approval if they approve it later. But since these meetings are 2 days apart, it's not an issue.
It's on the agenda only because it's coming up. Same with the one before it, 21181. That's a new dwelling being proposed at the intersection of North Ogle Street and Baltimore Street, right across from the school. It would be assigned an address at 226 North Ogle. That stormwater management plan is in the very early phases of review and comments as well. There was, I think, 4 stormwater comments and 4 or 5 water and sewer connection comments on that.
Is that the one they took down all the trees?
Yes.
Right on the corner?
Yep.
They took down a lot of trees.
Mm-hmm. And they have to put them back because they're in the critical area.
Correct. But I guess they needed that for building space because it's not a huge lot.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So that's under review also. Basically, or it's waiting. Is that what you're telling me?
Yep. Yes. Yep.
Okay.
So moving on to the next one down on the list, 22183, that's a tree removal permit that's been approved already. 22184 is a rooftop solar permit that has been approved already. And then really the only one that's for review tonight is 23-1, because 23-2, the tree removal permit for 547 Baltimore has been approved already. So I'll pass around. 204 Cool Springs Road is a in-ground swimming pool permit. It meets setbacks. It's out of the forest retention area. Has the fence around it.
It's pretty new. It needs to heat.
It doesn't have the HOA letter yet, though. Yet. The pool company is kind of funny. Anthony Sylvan said, "Man, everybody in Cool Springs wants pools. I guess they're busy. They're just hopping around the neighborhood."
So for these in-ground pools, you know, there's supposed to be a fence around, and that's showing a fence around the outside of the property. Is that sufficient, or do they need one right around the pool?
I don't think we the county has specifics for in-ground pools. You're only allowed to, I think it's like 3 to 6 feet away from the pool wall itself in the ground is where the fence has to get. We don't have any requirement.
So it'll be subject to whatever the county says.
Mm-hmm. It's going to make it work with the land. On that lot.
That's an amoeba, that's not a pool.
Tough swimming laps.
Yeah. Probably gonna have a spa at one end. Tell us to let us know when they open it, and then we'll give the approval. Just kidding.
Well, let me make the motion for 23-1 contingent upon receipt of HOA approval. Is there a second?
I second.
I third.
Okay.
Too slow.
We'll hold you in reserve.
Tom was raising his hand.
All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, chicken ordinance.
Oh, God. Oh, let me, I'm sorry. In all the packets, I didn't print that out yet.
I think it's attached to the minutes.
Is it? No, it was emailed with the minutes earlier.
Yeah, it's on the back. I know, it's just a discussion.
No, but it's in the last. What is your number?
That's a discussion.
Okay, yeah, but I have it from the last time somewhere.
I have it. I'm afraid to access it on my phone because I've got
I'll print it out.
Chapter 11 up here, which is already printed out.
Ordinance 20901.
Ma'am.
Okay, I got it. And it's all scribbled on.
Oh, that's the old one. Yeah, I read the one that came in the email. That one.
And really,
how many other towns have chicken ordinances?
I don't know. Well, I would imagine a lot.
Yeah.
Either one, you can find chicken ordinances and time to look up a municipality. It's been the big thing. And from what Renee was telling me, it was like the hot topic at the MML.
Thank you. The people behind me have chickens.
People behind you now have chickens? Not Andy's house, but.
Yeah. So really, just so you guys know, what we had talked about, you know, the provisions would apply differently to properties in the R1 versus the R2, R3, RR, or C1 zones, basically all other zoning districts. So I just went ahead and put in all those provisions that apply to the R1, and then all those provisions that apply to all the other zones.
And just a couple things. I see you have it on an old ordinance.
Yeah.
This is intended to be handled as an ordinance or as a change to 175.
I was thinking as a change to the ordinance.
Okay, good.
It seemed like it was cleaner, and it is, 175 does cross-reference to this ordinance.
Do the chickens have to be poll-printed or poll-printed? I'm being facetious because they have to be registered. I was just wondering if you had to identify them.
I don't know. DNA, I hope.
So what we did change that in letter B, that, you know, they're registered with the state, but we need a copy of that registration as part of the town permit.
All right. So just the flog of date meal.
So this is something that the chicken owner has to do, correct?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. As a condition.
And who's going to find it, follow up on it?
Well, for $75, we go have some follow up.
Yeah. Well, these are permit conditions. So the permit wouldn't even get approved unless it met all these conditions.
Okay. So they have to bring in their proof that they register. Okay. Gotcha. All right. I'm with
you. And then I hear you from follow up. I mean,
yeah, I know.
You know, 2 years from
now. You have four chickens, and next week you have six, and two aren't registered. I'm being devil's advocate. Mm-hmm.
It's like cheesecloth.
Hmm?
It's like cheesecloth.
Yes.
Okay.
And you got to flip them over and make sure their hands.
What's the maximum chickens?
Six.
Because it says here, less than half an acre, you can have
six. So that was
more than six.
Remember, that was specifically in the R1.
Right.
What we wanted to preserve in the R1 zone is if you're over 1 acre in lot size, you can have as many chickens as you want.
But there's no limit.
No limit. But even in the R1, if you're less than half an acre, the same limit that applies in all of the zones is no more than six.
So the ordinance number will change. And what's, again, back at the flogging the old dead mill here.
Yeah.
Our purpose with this is to approve this for the commissioners.
Yeah.
Okay.
And really, I mean, just to highlight what was in the minutes from the last meeting, it was making sure that we get a copy of the registration, making sure that the R1 zone was treated differently than the other zones in terms of lot size, which it is.
I mean, this encompasses all the items we talked about.
Yeah, I mean, instead of saying fee, we added the word permit in front of it, so it's a permit fee. And I really believe that was it.
Now, is this a fair and accurate representation of our last meeting?
I am going to assume that it is. I'm getting chicken cooped out personally, but that's just me. I'm sorry.
I think the ordinance comes with a certain amount of playful words.
Right. I see where people want these things, but I think we're going to have a problem. That's just my prediction. but that has nothing to do with permit.
You may or may not have a problem, but you're probably right. But we are going to have no problems in a couple of years once the fad passes.
Yes, yeah. That's it. We're making an ordinance for a fad. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Actually, I think it boiled down, we're passing an ordinance so we don't have roosters. As you ladies just continue in your pathway with us. But be that as it may.
I like roosters.
Yeah.
I like hearing them. Wake up call.
All right. Do you wake up early?
Yes, I do. I'm up 5:30.
There you go. Let's figure out the verbiage for the motion. So I make a motion that.
Let me say something. On here, you have this as number 3 chickens.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this one's old, but this one is private clubs, lodges. Or the rest of these getting renumbered.
Let's see what you're saying. That kind of gets back to what Ken was saying. Are we just amending this ordinance? Or are we going to amend 175? Because this does, I mean, this language is in 175 where it talks about
chickens.
175-16, are you? Yeah, you're in the R1. Although it doesn't even have, does it have farms in there as number 2? Yeah, it does. Yep. Yeah, so you're right. Maybe it will be cleaner to do it in 175. And just like you're saying, change the numbers down below. Maybe I'll ask the town attorney, you know, what might be the cleanest way to do it.
Where are you?
R1, what page are you there, Tom? 175-20?
16. Yeah, 175-16, I don't know what page.
Yeah, it's 175-20 is the page. It's just it's the very first section of R1.
Well, this is the first discussion. That's the first thing that comes to grips with, because the motion was going to be to recommend that the ordinance be amended as follows.
Like in all the other zones, there's really no shifting of numbers.
Right.
What he's getting at is, you know, because we want to preserve that first number 2, the fact that farms, provided that no poultry or livestock shall be housed or confined within 200 feet of the front boundary of the property, we felt like we wanted to keep that.
Right.
So this whole chicken section would be a new number.
Subsection.
Or, yeah. Right.
Refer to.
And this one, that was all taken out.
Maybe to make it cleaner for both cases. Instead of numbering it 3, it's like 2A.
Right.
Right. This could be a subsection under 2.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, and probably 2 is saying poultry or livestock. And we're going to amend 2, change it 3 to A. Okay. Yeah, because this is only dealing with chickens.
Right. And then I'll change all the sub letters to numbers. And then for number 3 or C or 3, whatever you want to call it, I'm going to change that to a letter, lowercase a. Cool, I got it.
All right.
So thanks,
now,
Tom.
So now we go back.
Yeah, because I'm just thinking, I'm looking at this, and I'm like, we think we had our number 3 just for chickens in there.
You're right.
That's why I looked it up, and it says, so are we amending just that, or are we amending getting rid of the rest of the stuff that's in there? It's just, you know, whatever.
Well, I think then the motion will be that we recommend the following changes in the ordinance 2009-1 to the commissioners relative to chickens. Right. So we're not changing 175. Right. We're asking where the motion is that the commissioners change this ordinance.
Yeah, we're asking the commissioners to change that.
Yeah. We're not like, asking them to change.
Right, but what I was saying is this has a number 3. When you go to the ordinance, number 3 is a totally different thing.
Right. So we're going to fix this amendment.
He's going to fix the amendment to match that.
Yep.
Okay.
But since we already have 175 at the attorneys trying to get that passed.
I hope the chickens appreciate all this.
They better. Chickens has been going ongoing thing for months now.
Oh, right, exactly.
How about we piss in order to see if
we've just been sitting here laying a lot of eggs, that's all.
Really, you have?
Yep. You want a dog?
No.
Come on, Urs, I'll walk them right down. No.
All right. So are we good with the motion?
Yes.
Are we? Okay. If we are, is there a second? Okay. Any further discussion? Since this is a weighty matter. If not, all in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, comes the real fun of the evening. The real objective of this evening, one is to discuss chapter 11, and also if you had anything in particular as you read through the entire plan that you want to discuss at further meetings, but we should probably stay on chapter 11 because it has most of that involves planning.
You have 11, and you got okay. You get that?
Not in 11.
Having had the honor of rereading this,
this?
For the second time in this edition, what I was struck about is that when they wrote this, they thought that the population here was going to be 1,896 people in 2020, 730 homes. To give you an idea, we have 1,503. So we have 393 people less and almost 90 homes less than they had predicted. And that was for 2020 and a couple more years passed. So this plan, as it was envisioned, we have not met in terms of the town growth. I found that kind of, and yet, when I thought about it and figure out if we're approving 25 to 30 homes a year, really, that's only 50, 60 people. You know, so it's when you do it. But I was stunned that that's all we have.
Did you see that in chapter 11, that number?
Yeah. Or
was it?
Mm-hmm.
Where did we talk about Papa?
Maybe back in like 5 or 4, you have to go to the. Oh, I didn't see it in 11. No, I did not see it in 11. I saw it elsewhere in the plan.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is those numbers that drive the entirety of the plan for building these land use amount of acreage and various properties. So if I had a bugaboo to bring up in a meeting,
it's
the fact that the plan, even though it may be older, all right, we still haven't achieved the 2020 objectives. And in population and number of houses.
So the population is the total population number of 1,400 is what was projected by 2020?
No, by 2020 we projected 1,896.
Wow.
In this plan. Yeah. And I checked the census for 2020 and it said 1,503.
Yeah, right.
So
we're
14,
there's about 400 short.
Yeah, and almost 100 homes short. And yet we're down to how many? Lots that are left. I don't think we have 30 or 40 lots total.
Is that the homes on the other side of the road?
Yeah. This is what was shocking to me when I read the whole thing is that we are, you know, it's just like, I'm sure we'll get to that population. We're not going to get that population probably at this rate until 2030. You know, so a roundabout way of saying that the plan may not be as old as the date on it signifies, because we have not moved. And yet we were, when you read this, the entirety of the plan, we were one of those boom areas in Cecil County. We were supposed to grow disproportionately to other municipalities, and it hasn't occurred. But how many homes do we think we have left to build?
In Cool Springs?
Yeah.
5.
I mean, there's no way with the infill we have that we're going to achieve that. You know, we're never going to achieve the 2020.
What might be a good question is, like the second phase of Scott Gardens, is that included in those numbers?
They have the number. There's also the build out of each area. Mm-hmm. Okay, for Scott Gardens.
Oh, so that's separate then.
Yeah, and it was an amount that I never heard of for 30 homes.
What happened
to them from ago.
Right.
But so the plan isn't as out of date.
You know, as far as if you go back a couple of years, probably 3, 4, or 5 years ago, I don't remember exactly how long, but they were shutting down all these government stuff and all these people were supposed to be moving to Aberdeen.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they based a lot of that on.
I think
it never happened.
Yeah.
Right.
It never happened.
Fort Memo?
Yeah. And New Jersey.
Yeah.
I was stunned because with Tom, when I was serving the other meeting, we were recruiting 3 new homes a month, like clockwork. Month after month.
They were popping, yeah.
Yeah.
But my question, too, is who wrote this thing?
Did they tell you to consult in Chapter 1?
Yeah.
Well, that's it.
Executive summary, you get a lot of good stuff.
That's what really, I mean, of course, I'll go with said it again. I'll say it again. There's a lot of fluff in here that needs to go bye-bye. And, mm-hmm. and you know, that projection on their part probably took it from some general study out there instead of zoning into where we are. I mean, it's just, you know, so
we don't have all that land that they think that they say we should have. I mean, you know, my one point was look at the parks. They want to park every 800 feet.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, I mean,
and all the side road parking and where's all this ground coming from?
Well, one of the other things is they describe Old Town. And Old Town doesn't include Market and Conestoga. Now, I would say that anybody who's ever lived in Charlestown would assume that Old Town included Market Street and Conestoga. So their thing. And then one of the other things that pops up is there are inconsistencies about I'll just take one, multifamily housing in the R3 or Old Town. To be encouraged, but no multi-housing in the conservation area, which is 1,000 feet off the water. Okay, so if you want to take 1,000 feet off the water in Old Town, okay, God bless you. Okay, it's just not. So there are some inconsistencies. The trouble is, or the challenge is, for us to address these inconsistencies and take them out. But I was just. What we have to do is really chapter 11, and there's an objective in chapter 3 that sort of hit me, which was a housing, because it says replace substandard housing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that we've ever, as much as we don't like the abandoned homes or the rundown homes, we've never taken that as a group to be a challenge for us. What do you do about the houses that are substandard is their term. So
no, that's a whole nother set of codes and things that need to go in the book, and then how you follow up with it. I'm just looking at this whole thing, and it's just a comment from me that this thing is just, I think we need to just have a real heavy work session of just what do we want to take here? No, we don't want that. And let's make this simplified and let's do this. And just to just throw it out there and put it in there and then come back and polish it and finish it up. Well, I think we could probably take half of this and do away with it.
Now, there's a big section of chapter 11 in all of, I think it's chapter 5, that needs to go to the Star Commission, which is the amount of land that the Maryland Historic Trust, because it demands that they do it.
Right. That makes sense.
It shouldn't make anything like that. But there's a lot of ground that there's Maryland Historic Trust easements on.
Mm-hmm.
Which complicates things for those who are stuck doing the plan implementation. This have to deal with.
It's labeled as Part 7. It's on page 10 in Chapter 11, Historic Preservation. And the last, it's only 3 paragraphs. The last sentence of that third paragraph, if there's a bugaboo, I'd say, for historic preservation in Charlestown, is that we develop guidelines of acceptable construction materials and practices for non-landmark historic structures, because that's been our biggest struggle, right? Like, you got the historic district, and you have all these contributing resources. What about those that don't contribute to the historic district? When they develop, you know, how can they
relate
to the district? 10 years ago, Maryland Historical Trust came monthly for inspections. And they were inspecting and finding you. And then all of a sudden that all stopped.
Well, did you see?
They don't even appear anymore. So it's interesting.
So right behind Stormwater Management, there's also a bunch of pages dealing with it. Okay, so 18 and 19 also deal with it, as does an entire chapter. And I think it's chapter 5. That's how we get out, maybe. This is a way of me staying to the group, but we don't have to do everything ourselves.
What did you just, we don't have to do everything ourselves?
I think on these items that relate to the historic district, I would like to subcontract that work to the historic district.
Okay.
All right. And what happens is, I think it's what they may call, heritage preservation. I mean, it just goes on and on about it. And one of the things is there's an inventory of property to be done. And there was one done in 96 or 97. And it listed. And the other thing that it has a requirement for is for the town of Charlestown, through one of its agencies, to develop a list of locally historic buildings. They don't have to be in the trust. They don't have to be in the anything else. But the town will say, this is historically important. I think it'd be a mixed blessing to get that put on you. But
yeah, that would be a good idea. Some of that would probably even be outside the historic district.
Right. But what I'm saying, it's a requirement within this plan. And again, you know, coming back to root causes of everything, how much. When you read this, this plan that's supposed to guide the commissioners and all boards in their developmental policy.
And how many have read it?
Well, I would tell you that myself included.
I haven't read it all.
I haven't done it until very recently.
It's like the Dead Sea Greasy Scrolls. I told you that before. But it's just too, it needs to come down.
Everybody here has not only are they currently on planning and zoning, but everybody's on a tour to in planning and zoning, right? So we all did tours when this was in effect, but who knew?
Okay,
but we can attribute all this to our town administrator who's brought it to the floor and said, hey, y'all want to read this.
Is there a deadline on this thing to get it done?
I don't think the state's Maryland Department of Planning is hitting us over the head to say, hey, you got to update this.
Mm-hmm.
But to your point, if this fluffy document's just sitting on a shelf and nobody's reading it or paying attention to it, what are we doing? Where are we going?
Well, that's what I'm just saying. There needs to be a plan. We need to probably have workshops and just sit down and go paragraph by paragraph, page by page, and say yes, no, no, yes, and come to an agreement as to what's going to stay and revitalize or reword it or whatever. It's just so, to me, it's overwhelming. I mean, I think it is.
And it shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be.
It should be comprehensive.
But it doesn't need to be 99,000 pages either.
Right, but it's a plan. And in my mind, when you say plan, that means take some action.
Yeah.
Right.
And they do so much in here about what they want in the future. Do we need to put that in there? This is what we would like to see? This is our goal as to what we'd like to see?
Yeah.
This is exactly why I brought up the population.
Yeah.
Okay. As a placeholder for what this document says, because where this document puts us, we're behind 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So there's a lot of, we don't have to future any more numbers than are there.
We can just use those.
We can just back out. Yeah. Instead of 2020, we can make it 2040.
Right.
All right. We can do that. Now, the big purpose of this, quite honestly, is if the town wants to annex If the town wants to create a growth area or get funding, this has to be a plan that you can find quickly, and you can refer whatever project you want funding for to back to this plan.
Okay.
So where you brought nothing, one of them says in here a bandstand, for example, which we happen to get. It's the one thing we did. Okay. And we've done a few other things, but in general, it's not like we took this plan that's 10 years old or whatever it is, 12 years old, and we went down over the last 10 years and said, let's do this, let's do that, let's do the other. We haven't done that. And mainly, if you haven't read it, it doesn't exist. Okay. But now we are all privileged to have the opportunity.
Mm, definitely.
Oh, thank you very much.
There you go. And you thought Christmas was only in December.
But I mean, there are some, you know, like you said, there's some.
I read it online. My eyes still hurt.
The nice thing, Tom, is chapter 11 is just kind of like the executive summary.
Yeah.
It's more to it. Yeah. It's only 20 pages. It breaks down all the chapters. Like some of this stuff, even though it was 2008, I mean, these are things that I think are still relevant today. Like it talks about accessory dwellings, how we should go about permitting two houses on one lot, basically. Like it called that out. And honestly, I don't know if we really changed our zoning in that regard.
I mean, signage should be informative without being intrusive. Signs should not be dominating visual landscape. Signs should be compatible with their purpose, be clear, concise, and as small as reasonably possible. Ta-da. You could take that chapter and beat us around the head with that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, we talk about providing appropriate facilities for bicycles. At key commercial, civic, and recreation locations. I don't know if we have a bike rack in Charleston. No, I think we need one at the boat ramp, honestly, because of where our parking lot is. But just as an example.
It has a lot of, I mean, we 175 about parking for businesses on the spot. All right. But the plan says you should be more inventive with your parking and not just try to handle all the problems with vegetation. By chance, I was in Newcastle, Delaware today, and I saw about as cool a parking lot as you could ever imagine. Just a big curve. It was, you know, like the street ended. So instead of just making it a dead end street, they put a big curve around with angled parking in there. And I mean, it was like, kind of cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that was called out, right? That parking is one of our biggest challenges.
And they talk about alleys. We don't have any alleys, do we?
No.
Do you think we'll ever have alleys? Are there any alleys across the road?
Cooper Avenue, or I don't
know. Cooper is not an alley.
I know, but I'm just saying, could you consider
Cooper's
that?
Cooper's a dead end street. It's a street.
Yeah, the 1800s.
Yeah, but not now.
No.
Cather Heights. There's got to be an alley in Cather Heights somewhere.
Right.
Well, I think it's a little spot about that wide runs between Thelma's garage and my fence.
Half of it is alleys, and everyone was fighting and complaining because he called them all alleys, and they said, "No, they're my property." No, and it was a mess.
So, what is the game plan?
Game plan is for us to go and start on chapter 11 and see what it is we can or should do. And a lot of it, when you go through this, it's going to say that the planning is what they call, should write ordinances about. And it has, for example, the R1, 2, and 3. Now, I would tell you that we did it because we just did it. Now, is it sufficient? Because what they're looking, actually why they said to rewrite it is that you would expand the housing options in these districts so that we're in certain districts where we have only single family housing. They would like that to be multifamily housing because they have a goal of 3.5 properties per acre.
They have a goal.
We have a goal. It's in this plan. Okay.
Do we have to keep that goal?
But unless we change it. Okay. But what I'm saying is this plan, even though written by others, okay, is our plan.
Right. The town commissioners adopted it.
Yeah, there's nothing in this plan, and I'm going to bring up a sticky subject, so are the Airbnbs.
Yeah.
Are they in there?
Yeah, because I'm sure when they did this,
they weren't.
Nobody could have spelled it A and B.
Right.
And,
ARB, yeah. So
that is ours.
But there you go.
But what's happening is that, and I guess this is a common planning practice today that might have been a little strange back then, but an acre of land is
43,560 square feet.
So you would think you get four homes on that. They want to go to 3.5. All right. And our average density, I think, in Old Town is 3.6, but the rest of the place is 1. Mm-hmm. Or 2. Mm-hmm. So, but do we want that? Do we want the density that they think is the proper use of land? All right.
Right.
Well, right now we do because that's what we said.
Right.
Yeah.
And getting to that point, my biggest bugaboo, and that's the map that I made for everybody, is we haven't done much to protect our what's called the Green Infrastructure Network. It's open spaces. It's our streams. It's the forest around them. There's some undeveloped areas in town that probably would be better off, especially from a stormwater and a flooding perspective, that should stay undeveloped and be protected in some way. Or if we want to allow some kind of development, like I'm looking at this green infrastructure map, that's phase 2 of Scott Gardens, right? You see that. And we got to believe at some point, since it's a developer owns that land, that they're going to want to build on it. But that doesn't mean we couldn't increase the density on that piece of land there and say, hey, we want to preserve, say, 300-foot stream buffers and 200-foot wetland buffers on this property. And if you do that as part of a subdivision plan, we'll give you increased density, right? It's like cluster development. So it's a little bit more wise use of land, I'd say, than what the current density R2 is for Scott Gardens, just as an example.
Yeah, one of the other things, it says that we don't have a valid zoning map.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true? Or...
That map behind us there was adopted by the town commissioners. It's wrong.
Okay.
Well, it needs to be updated.
Yeah, I mean, because they're citing that in here. So that's a to-do. And I don't know if we do that without help.
Well, I was planning on, because I don't know if I remember there was an issue about the surveyed town boundaries being off. The shoreline has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
The zoning district map doesn't necessarily have to be survey accurate, at least according to Dave Dahlstrom at Maryland Department of Planning.
That makes sense.
I think as part of updating 175, we can take a stab in-house at creating that on a computer map version of that zoning district map, and it could be made official. Yeah. I wouldn't pretend to say it's a 100% accurate to shorelines today, but it doesn't need to be.
I'm just looking down what the objections are that we have to common chapter 11. So your theory going paragraph by paragraph, these are some of the work elements that come up in it,
mm-hmm.
which is why a review of it first to say what are the sticky points that we're not going to be able to solve in a meeting that may require. Now is the town still thinking about hiring a consultant?
Absolutely. We applied for a grant to get a consultant to help us update this plan. But
do we not have any money to pay somebody? Do we have to have a grant?
We don't have to.
I mean, every time I'm going to vent, every time I turn around, we're getting a grant. I mean, sometimes I think we just have to step up the plate and do what we have to do. If we have to do it.
And what I was going to say was, I mean, we may not get the grant, right?
It's true. But if we do it ourselves, we don't have to worry about that.
Nice thing about grant proposals is it does kind of focus you and try to figure out what you're asking for. What do you want to do? But there's nothing that says we can't work on it concurrently.
Okay. I mean, I always think we need work sessions. We need to just take a section and just sit down, and then we work on it for an hour an hour and a half.
Ken, but that's what these
outside meetings
are.
Of here. No, outside of this. I mean, right. I don't think
why outside of them.
I don't.
Well, this is our reason for being.
Everyone is talking about adjectives. This and adjectives. This to do this.
The work sessions by reducing the amount of time we spend on the permits.
Okay.
Okay, and putting it on the agenda. So that was the hope tonight. We're going to do chapter 11. I mean, if you had bugaboos somewhere else in this plan, that's what we would put on the agenda for next month. And we just bang through this.
Have a time frame for this that needs to be done?
I don't think our feet are being held to the fire. There needs to be done.
Because we're waiting for grant money anyway.
We're not waiting.
We don't have to wait. They can come in. They can pretty up the language if they like. They can run these surveys on population and all that. I have one of those computer things.
If we make progress with this on our own at planning commission meetings, if that consultant comes on board, we just tell him what to do.
Yeah.
And he's going to say, why the hell did you need me? Part of my French. Wow.
Yeah.
There's a whole public community engagement process that should happen, right? To see what residents think the vision of the town should be for the next 20 years. It's not just us.
If we were done with this, much like Code 175, it goes to a public hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then we have the job of explaining, I guess, or the commissioners, depends on how it goes.
And really the editorial work of synthesizing all the information, the ideas.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking. So
it takes time.
We're sitting here and we're reading, let's just say, the first page, and we're saying, take this out, put this in. We're not doing that yet.
We could be.
Okay.
I mean, I've marked up chapter 11 just as an example.
I've worked it up too.
And all I did for me.
I even brought my young marker today.
Okay. All I really did for me so far was to say, these are the things that I think makes sense that we don't lose track of. Like, these were good ideas back in 2008 that we need to push forward now. That's what I did.
Yeah. If we want to start, I can tell you the second item here, which is this thing about intermodal or multimodal transportation. I just don't get it.
Where are you?
First page.
Yes.
Okay. Remember the table.
Number who?
Two, accommodates multimodal transportation. We're not Southern California.
I have a question mark next to that one.
Yeah. I mean, you're not Southern California. You can ride your bike if you like all 100 days a year. Okay. But the rest of the time, it's rainy or it's cold or it's too hot. I don't know why, from my standpoint, why is that a...
We already have that. We have golf carts. We have bikes. We have motorized bikes. We have motorized people like
we have
skateboards that are motorized. Right?
We have a new moped.
Moped. So we already have that. We're already accommodating all.
We might be. And right, if you go back to like the whole beginning of that, is there was an article about great neighborhoods, places that stand out for their character, livability, and positive community feeling. Like, what makes a great neighborhood? And
can that's just we eliminate seven that? Can we take that all well, out?
I don't know.
I would.
Yes. But I think the idea.
Can't we say neighborhoods, livability neighborhoods, comfortable neighborhoods, however you want to put it.
I agree. That whole.
It's too much wordage.
I mean, that is even before the background. I don't know what you'd call that, but in my mind, that's fluff.
Picture.
Mm-hmm. But that idea of multimodal transportation, you know, that's something we're going to have to think about a little bit more carefully in the transportation section.
Accommodating all those things.
Are we doing it well and safely?
Well, who's out there going to do anything about it?
You mean enforcement?
Yeah. I mean, I'm telling you, you're talking about, are we doing it well? What do you mean? Should we have lines on the road and this is where the bike and the moped and this is where the skateboard motorized should ride?
Our roads are, it's not just
they're not about wide enough for that.
Enforcement. I mean, it's design. Should the roads be redesigned to better accommodate bicycles for pedestrians and cars and golf carts? And it might be widening roads. It might be putting some lines down or some signage, crosswalks. We have areas here in town that need crosswalks, just as an example. I mean, it's not just enforcing rules, it's designing what the town looks like.
Yeah. don't let me be the only one talking here.
No, I'm interested in what you're thinking.
I don't see how you could accommodate all those things. If you want to put a lane in there to the side that says multi-purpose lane. This is where skateboarders, bicyclists, and moped drivers, and whatever you are, this is your lane. Now, who's going to enforce it as they go zooming across the street this way, that way?
I don't think it's always about enforcement. I mean, I think some people will listen and they'll stay in the lane.
I can just see somebody riding down the road now and some guy on a bike's in the middle of the street and he's got to get in your own lane. You know? Well, I think it's asking us to create restrictions that we have to somehow be able to back up. And can we?
Well, maybe the first thing we're going to look at is that these seven items were not done for Charleston, right? They were in general.
There you go.
What makes a great neighborhood, what makes a nice community. And so what we have here ought to be as applicable in Old Town as it is across seven, okay, in the cul-de-sac neighborhoods, all right? And in a lot of ways, these things are easier to do there or may have a more willing population to do it than you have here, you know, given the fact that their demographic being much younger and far more kids. They may be more interested in this than us. The question for us is, do we want to accept this or put a big X on it? Mm-hmm. All right. But when you see it, it sets up how they've written the rest of the chapter.
Well, if you take and go ahead and accept like this multimodal thing here, and you want to put lines down on the road and do all this or widen the roads, now do you have to put adequate street lighting and sidewalks to accommodate all that?
Sidewalks are, it's like parking. If you triage our problems, it's parking, but then next it's sidewalks, because sidewalks mean curbs and gutters, which means.
Well, what I'm saying is if you're saying here's your lane, well, now we need something to say, okay, that's somebody's lawn. This is where people walk. This is where you drive. This is where cars drive.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to the problem. It may be just like you see those signs on the Hayden Bridge, shared a lane. Are you kidding me? I'd never be on my bicycle. Okay. But it may be nothing more than a sign that says, welcome to Charlestown, a
walkable community.
Yeah, a walkable community. Don't run over our bicyclists. Yeah.
Bicycle sign, caution.
There parks over here.
If you go back to the first paragraph and you say to yourself, places that stand out, their character, this is what they're asking you to do in time mm-hmm. for a great neighborhood. Livability, positive community feeling. A survey was conducted to determine the characteristics of what makes a great neighborhood. I'm not so sure that the first one is fine. The second one with accommodates, that could be changed entirely to
welcomes.
Drivable transportation accessibility, or however you want to word it, and just keep it generic instead of being so defining.
I like to change a word from accommodates, which means spending money and doing stuff, to welcomes.
Yeah, I like
that. There you go. Okay. Welcomes multimodal transport, or mm-hmm. okay. Has design and architectural features that are visibly interesting.
We also have to be careful when you say that's welcome. Do we need to put something there?
Does it get more defined as we further down the road here?
It says it has to be legal.
Well, we can handle that.
That comes down the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, as it sits right now, these golf carts that are running around are not legal.
That's right.
Okay. Accommodates legal multimodal.
So we say welcomes legal.
Welcomes legal multimodal transportation.
Okay.
I got a lot of wrenches I can throw in the gears.
Has design architectural features. Well, I think you could leave that in there. We certainly do have design and architectural features. Well, with the older homes and the waterfront, and I think we could leave that alone.
Yeah.
Human contact.
And actually leaving it in, let's be get a grant for the water tower for your house.
Oh, okay. Courage, human conduct. In other words, you should be waving to everybody that comes to town.
You just want to encourage.
Well, you know what? Welcome and commit.
But I'll tell you, I think the town did a heck of a job this year with everything at Avalon Park and everything else. I mean, if there's one that we did well, it's certainly that one.
Yeah, I think partnering with the elementary school and fire company has really helped.
And the next one, I had a question mark there. I don't know why. Promotes community involvement and maintains secure environment.
Well, again, I think we've had a lot of community involvement. And we have an extraordinarily low crime rate.
And we don't know.
You know what I think was pretty successful this year, too, was our park ranger. Mm-hmm. We had three of them from Memorial Day up until Labor Day. Really one that stayed on the whole time. But we got pretty good reviews for that. Yeah. And we paid for that with our own money.
Good one.
Yeah, drop the taxes out.
We paid for it with all the fines.
I mean, I think we have yet to actually quantify, you know, how much it cost.
Right.
But we got a lot of positive feedback.
And then he goes to prove that when you have an in-town, not, I don't want to say police, but some sort of enforcement entity, what a difference it makes.
Yeah. All the life.
And they were visible, very visible.
Yes.
While our tourists were in town.
Right.
Is that what we want to call them, tourists?
Sure.
Yes, tourists, because they leave.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how we respond to climatic demands other than.
Who would? A climatic.
We have a snow plow and.
Floods.
Well, it's
hurricanes.
It's the big rains that we're getting now, right? Yeah, like, true. What are we going to do about it? It's not all just the town's problem. It's a private property problem, too. But it's like, can we work together to reduce the flooding that's happening big rains?
While you're up there, Mr. Ken, you can get me a glass, too. Sure. Thank you very much. I don't want to get in line here.
In my mind, that's a big part of, you know, preserving a green infrastructure network, too. Right. Is like when you leave some of our land in that natural state, it just helps absorb some of that runoff. Mm-hmm. It's just a part of the system. In my mind, it's like a part of the stormwater system where you can kind of direct water to.
So 15 minutes later, we're down to number 7.
Yep.
We got a long way to go.
Yep. Let's keep going.
The longest journey starts with 150,000 real quick steps.
1,000 steps starts with one.
On that note, Audrey said,
you thought we couldn't wait you out, huh?
You can't leave, Audrey. You have to stay.
The page just beginning.
CJ, you following along with us here? You participating?
He went to bed.
Thank you.
Hello. I am here.
You got any comments at this stage?
He doesn't have a document. I think that's probably what slows things up.
Probably better off without. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I will say this is my first planning and zoning meeting, and it's very interesting. So,
oh, good.
All right.
Thank you.
I don't know that we even need that paragraph, do we? The responses cited above largely focus on concepts of placemaking. In this regard, design is an important component of creating neighborhoods and communities to facilitate social. We could condense that.
Should we just put a big X through it?
Yeah, or the above will facilitate social interaction. Incorporating the above will facilitate it. I lost it again.
Yeah, let's exit out up until the word Charleston. How's that?
Up until the where? Okay.
Yeah, I like seeing our name in print.
Oh.
It does look pretty cool.
Yeah,
that would be fine. Okay, we're going to eliminate one thing.
You see that first bullet?
Yep.
Our use of land in the town center in the historic district is smart growth. So we're already pretty dense,
right? We're above that. We're 36.
3.5.
And somewhere else earlier.
Do we need to change that at all?
Well, yeah. I mean, think about it.
Well, I think the only thing that has to change here is when you see 2008 is referring, I mean, makes it sound like it is 14 years old.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how can we?
The
closest to achieving. I've already achieved it.
About, well, not necessarily. The
previous Charlestown Comprehensive Plan.
Sorry, what did you say, Ken?
Just take out 2008 and put previous.
Continue.
In the previous.
Oh, cross out 2008, put previous. Yeah. Okay. But that first bullet point, what could we do? I mean, this is something I had a resident come and talk to me today about their concern about a garage, a detached garage on a property being converted into an Airbnb. So basically a second house on one lot.
You're going to get me going again. Go ahead.
And even if it wasn't an Airbnb, just pretend it was a second house on one lot.
Right. Can you do that?
You can do that. Yeah. In Old Town, as long as you do a water and sewer connection, yeah. You don't need any kind of special approval in our current ordinance. Now, if you ask me, if right now we're already smart growth in the historic district and we want to stay that way, we don't want to have two houses on every lot, then we better do something about it. Right, we better come up with some regulations.
It's not right there.
Well, I think one of the real problems is in R3 you can do it.
Yeah.
And okay,
but
now you have the historic overlay that says single family housing.
Right.
Okay, so. Is it a single family housing if you have two houses?
Is it R3? What is it?
Yeah, on the R3 lot.
It's R3.
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 How big's the lot?
And if you come up with one.
Not that I guess it matters, but.
You shouldn't be allowed two homes at
the same time. No, something's not.
20,000 square feet.
Although I knew somebody up the street from me that was
16,000 square foot lot. And one house is the primary.
That's 10,000
building.
Yeah.
And then a second house.
On a non-conforming.
Second house would be an accessory apartment dwelling.
Apartment dwelling.
Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't be.
Or if the contractor would tell them. Mm-hmm. Go to them.
I didn't hear what you said. What?
Well, I don't know if that's pertinent, but I'm just saying in general.
Right. In general.
The question. Is, I mean, there's nothing that prevents two houses on one lot.
Really?
I think unless
I'm missing something, but
I thought it was.
What would that be?
I mean, if you're
like, I could take my garage and make an apartment and do the same thing, and I've got a tiny lot.
Yeah,
but I mean, single family housing zoning could imply. Single family.
Well, you have part of the chocolate covered nut.
All right. Yeah, an accessory would be, I don't know, because you know they like to encourage most owners to encourage these in-law apartments in
which like the in-law suite.
Yeah. So I'm gonna get anything chocolate.
So I like chocolate. We're digressing here, but here's a problem that goes all the way back to that Airbnb thing again. And that's what he's doing, or the person wants to do. They're taking a garage to make an apartment to rent it out as an Airbnb. That becomes a whole different entity as far as the type of housing we're dealing with.
Well, it sounds like I don't know why you'd be allowed it not in a commercial zone. No, I get it in a commercial zone.
What, an Airbnb?
Yeah.
Well, there's plenty of them that are not in commercial
zones. What I'm saying is it's a business, right?
It is a business. Commerce. Yes.
And it's no different than, quite honestly, home occupation is also commerce. in a residential neighborhood.
This opens a whole can of worms.
That's why I'm bringing it up.
We have probably 10 or 11 of them in town right now.
Is that for a smart growth by continuing to let that grow?
I don't know. I mean, I personally, this is just me. I have no problem with people having an Airbnb. If that's what you want to do. But we have no code on our books to do with this, and we get nothing as far as compensation for that.
Are they taxed for a separate building?
So there's no guidelines that they follow.
No. If you have two homes on a lot instead of one, it appears to me that there needs to be a change in assessment.
There would be a change in assessment, but it's really just based on the value of the improvements to the buildings.
Well,
but you have, you know, there's so many guidelines with building a house on a lot. Setback lines. Mm-hmm. Front, back, side setback lines, distances from here to there. I mean, the garage may be fine where it is because it's there. Right. It has been there. But when you make it a residence, it becomes something else.
I mean, I don't know the size of a two-car garage, but 40 by 40?
Could be.
40 by 20, 800, say 1,000 square feet just for easy calculation. you're looking at something that can be constructed for about $100 a square foot. But if you have 1,000 square foot B&B, the construction cost of that has got to be about $250 a square feet. I mean, it's HVAC, it's a bathroom, it's a kitchen. It's a lot of stuff. It's probably $250 a square foot.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, you've gone from
a
negligible add-on to your primary residence to something of considerable value.
And your tax base hasn't changed.
Right.
Well,
now he's on the same lot. It's not like it's a separate house sitting on its own lot. It's his house and a garage that's now become an Airbnb.
Your assessed value is going to go up because of the improvements to the building.
How do you assess that value on that Airbnb? Because do we have a line on our tax code about Airbnbs and what their assessment should be? How do you do that?
Probably just assessed as a dwelling, whatever the dwelling
as a dwelling. Are. But it's a trans, mm-hmm. transferring, trans moving dwelling. It's a business. So that comes under business. Yes.
And
I guess
it's like inns and motels.
There's two things, right? I mean, there's the Airbnbs, but there's also just an accessory apartment, like the in-law suite.
Okay, that's one thing.
So that's just talking about that scenario when we're talking about density in the historic district. And people just want to convert their detached garages
and they into also
accessory
maybe,
apartments.
Maybe just be making an apartment for a rental unit to rent out on a regular basis, which is another gig. I mean, I just don't mean to blow this out of proportion, but I think we're missing the boat. And I think that has to come into, you know, this is the case with this particular unit, what he wants to do. And again, nothing against Airbnbs, but I think we don't have anything that defines them. Guidelines, nothing.
I'm saying that they're neighborhood killers. It's a violation of everything you want to have in a great neighborhood. Mm-hmm. A great neighborhood does not have an Airbnb.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And we have 11 that I know of.
Right. And then it's like, well, how did that happen?
It's just happened.
Right.
It was a thing to do.
So what are we going to do about it?
We need to have... And they all hate me because they hear me running my mouth on this. And I don't really worry about that too much because I think they got to, VRBO charges a tax. They handle everything for them. They find their tenant for them. They do all the background stuff. All they have to do is keep the unit clean and turn it over and turn it back in again. Mm-hmm. They get a fee from RBO, gets charged a fee to do that.
Yeah.
The state gets a fee. The county gets a fee. It's a lodging tax. We're missing it. Everybody's happy but us.
And tax issue aside,
along that comes guidelines. If he's going to put this second item on his lot in his garage, we have no guidelines for that, do we?
In Chapter 175.
I wasn't aware that house had a garage.
I don't even know where we're talking about. I'm totally.
It doesn't matter where.
It doesn't matter where.
No. It's in the historic district.
Yes.
And what do we want to come up with land use requirements or zoning requirements about?
There's a whole lot
accessory of apartments.
We're missing it. And I don't know if that should be in this plan. And
separately,
here.
Airbnbs. Because mm-hmm. it's happening, right? It's already
happening right by
since 2008. It's happening around right. us. And it's like, what are we going to do?
And about? You know what it is? It's the river shutdown.
Right. There's a draw. Obviously, if
and COVID was the big
market
draw.
Forces are happening around us.
COVID was the reason because people weren't going to go to major places.
None of the strip and setbacks are covered. If you think where's the hammer that planning and zoning has, it's setback and coverage.
Right,
that's its hammer.
And that's a thing. Like these garages are existing.
Do we have a use clause? Yes. A use clause? What you're using it for?
And it's
be it commercial, be it residential, be it
and single family house.
There you
this
go.
Is what I'm saying. If you're only allowed single family house, and how you allow the business, once you say that, what do you want to do about the home occupation? Although we've allowed home occupation,
I think we're we need to probably talk to some town that deals with these a lot. I think Cavity Grace has them.
I don't know. Do we even have a definition for single family dwelling?
Yes, I think we do.
We have a definition for dwelling,
okay, which
includes attached, semi-attached, or detached single families, duplex, townhouse, multifamily, accessory apartments,
okay,
in-law suites, guest house, and caretaker residence. Like
yes,
the
yes.
catch-all.
There you go.
But we don't really define, because I know what you mean with single family in the historic district.
Well, I mean, a single family anywhere. I mean, what that mean? Okay. Well, it doesn't mean you have a single family and people running in and out. I guess I get hung up on the word commercial. If you're making money mm-hmm. off of something, then it seems like you're in a commercial enterprise.
It comes under a whole probably no, right. different category. When we think commercial, we think
an accessory apartment because you can't stay in your teenager. Well, you have a right. mother-in-law.
Correct.
Okay, I think there's certain sympathy for that.
But when you're making money off of it and you're running a business and people are transferring in and out and in and out, you are definitely running a business. And that in itself has got to have a category and it has to fall into a certain parameter.
In the zoning ordinance cleanup for 175, we did come up with a definition for Airbnb.
You did?
Yeah, and we did say that an Airbnb needs a permit. Of course, it hasn't been adopted yet, but...
It hasn't been adopted, okay.
But planning and zoning did.
Put it into the town commissioner's court.
Okay.
But that, I don't know. As part of the comprehensive plan, because I don't think we're done with that section.
Well, we definitely need to zone in on that.
Put it in, because in truth, these are neighborhood killers. They can call them whatever they want, and certainly, gaining an assistant individual's income, I get that. Okay, but the kill's a neighborhood.
Yeah. I mean, I went up the street from me, and right between Tom and my house, and she keeps it immaculate. She's done a wonderful job with it. I mean, really has.
There may be under accessory apartment that it has to be owner-occupied, or that those facilities have to be owner-occupied.
People coming up and down the street to go to the river. I mean, not that it matters to me. I don't care. I mean, but it certainly improves the properties. If nothing else, it does improve.
Mm-hmm.
But we're missing the boat.
It's
in the box.
Yeah.
Yes. I've digressed. I'm sorry. Right. Didn't mean to.
Mary. All right. Anything else on page one?
Yeah, that was just talking about residential density in the older neighborhood.
and just, I guess the other one that always breaks me is additional neighborhood commercial uses. Okay, because this is lending itself right into the Airbnb. the last
amount of commercial land. Use
yeah, last bullet point.
The town may
providing land for additional neighborhood commercial uses. Well, the only commercial use
that would fall in, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
it certainly would.
We are
Yeah.
The old terminology is we have been for the bulk of our existence a bedroom community.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And we're just adding more and more bedrooms. On the other hand, you know, what's the deal with the sewerage and the water? They're coming through 1 meter, and maybe that's what we shouldn't allow. Is that this is an alternate, this is another use, and maybe you shouldn't be allowed to hook up directly.
Well, the one up the street has a garage in the back.
Yeah, what I'm saying is...
And I think there's a toilet facility in the garage, because they did a whole new piping situation. What I'm saying
is, did they tap off?
Yes.
I mean, I'm faced with the same thing in my place. I have two different lines coming in.
Uh-huh.
It would have been cheaper by now for me to have tapped both lines. Okay, and just paid the one water of service. I'm not running... Two people aren't running over the minimums.
Yeah.
But... If you wanted something, maybe we should require that. That's because that's $16,000.
$14,000. Yeah, and that's generally what's been discouraging folks when they come to us and say, "Hey, I want to convert my detached garage into an accessory apartment." Well, you got to do a water and sewer hookup. Oh, then I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to bet that the beggars are not doing
this. There's people that have them that already tapped in.
Well, I'm saying there's nothing. I don't even know if it's illegal. You even get it inspected by the county. I'm hooking up this toilet and this waistline to the existing sewer line.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
Someone's done that up on Calvert.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you get a plumbing permit.
Yeah.
I mean, you should,
right?
But if you don't, you know a plumber who can do it. That could be going unchecked. I mean,
one of the things here in this last bullet point was that the consider providing land with the parentheses that I put in additional neighborhood commercial area maybe use as appropriate locations in the town.
Like we have grand to give away.
Well,
that kind of gets back to growth, I guess. Right? If we're going to grow. You know,
and having a broader mix of use in the town center. We're probably going
to
need more
commercial options, and then you got to devote some of your land to commercial use. But if we're not going to grow a huge amount, you know, maybe that's more of a moot point.
If we're going to put the word Airbnb in there, we might as well put in the whole nine yards, bed and breakfast.
Well, this is the last line, right?
Yeah.
This may be accomplished by allowing a broader mix of uses in the town center. And, you know, doesn't take much to say the broader mix of uses is rental apartments. Now, the problem is I don't think nobody ever thought a rental apartment is anything but a long-term rental or, you know, somebody was living there. Now they're just, you know, vacationing there.
Airbnbs, you know, we came up with a lot of specifics in the new zoning ordinance before the town commissioners now is just regular bed and breakfast, not the Airbnb, but regular bed and breakfast is really the owner of that house ends up staying there and they're like the cook.
Well, that becomes, there's a whole different variation. Yes.
In the historic district, a regular B&B could be approved, but it needs a special exception from the Board of Appeals.
Where is that? That's in the code?
That's in the new code.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
So maybe something similar for Airbnb.
See, Airbnbs don't require any inspection. I mean, think about it.
I think they do.
They do? By whom?
I think
county, by whom?
By the county.
Do they really?
For building codes.
Yeah. I'm not so sure.
I think they do trigger different building
codes. I mean, there are so many things to think about. Smoke detectors, egress, ingress, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, we probably missed the boat by not insisting sprinklers on assessment.
Yes, exactly. There you go.
Assessment building, probably you don't have the capacities then.
I don't know. I would argue that they need to be sprinklered.
No, that's what I'm saying.
They're telling you that.
Yeah, but here comes
especially a separate water sewer connection. They have to be
sprinkled. There's not a minimum of square footage or anything on the new dwelling.
No.
Right? So if you want a dwelling, you want to make your garage a dwelling.
Especially if the garage is existing, I'd still go back to our 40% rule. Uh-huh. If the cost of your project is more than 40% of the value of that structure before you start, sprinkler it.
Well, see if it... You could split these hairs nine ways or something. But I thought we were talking about a detached garage. An attached garage.
Detached.
You're detached.
then they would have a sprinkler and a sewer pump. They're trying to do it so they attach the garage and get a more family house.
I see, yes. Yeah. Yes, that would be different.
But we don't know that. I mean, there's another problem. You come in and you submit an application. You know, this is what I'm doing. And it's like anybody who comes in wants to pour a concrete pad, right? If you think that there's not going to be a roof on that,
he knows.
Next year, there's going to be a year after that.
Yeah, that's just the way it goes, right?
It looks like little bricks.
But if we leave it in, are we going to be more defined about residential?
No, I think what happened is that the state means that we have to write is we want to tighten it up, we have to tighten it up through the zone.
Through zone.
There's the problem. Like these are. What they're saying is that these guidelines should inform how we write policy. All right. They're not giving us, they tell you early on in the executive summary, we're not telling you how to do things. We're just saying that this is the mindset you would have when you're making your policies.
Okay.
So we're not going to tell you every little thing, but every little thing is here.
As consequences, yes.
Shall we try to get through page two and then call quits?
Well, you know, here's the thing. What do we do with the top two things? We've already done these in spades. What? Distribution of park plan and open spaces appear to be adequate. And they fit in. We bought considerably more land since then. We probably doubled the park plan.
Do we have to put it in there?
I would say not so much in areas we might be looking at for future growth. For annexation,
mm-hmm.
Like especially if you look at this map here, where the black line is, that's our watershed boundary. There's really two streams that flow through town, and those areas haven't been developed just yet.
Well, what they're saying is existing population, but you know these are like thoughts for future annexation. Don't just annex.
It's yeah, right.
You know, I'll fully fill that block with amenities.
That area of the county is just right now, it's not adequate to serve existing population. Well, just from existing a park space.
Yeah,
we could leave that alone, can't we?
Yeah.
Oh. Yes, we could.
Okay, moving on.
The method of concurrent use of town and public lands is just opportunity. Well, the only one that I know offers opportunity is what's euphemistically called Fireman's Field.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here it sits. It's the only town thing. Highest and best use would probably be this. It's a real detention area.
And parking lot.
And parking lot, yeah. But, you know.
And like you said, you can do some really nice parking lots.
Mm-hmm.
Designed with stormwater management. It could be cisterns underneath the parking lot that hold the water.
Yeah, that and you have the ball fields. And whether or not the ball fields are going to be used, I mean...
I think we're definitely thinking about using some of our parks anyway, especially the ones that are not along the river, but you know, halfway down the hill to collect stormwater. And if there's a way to use it besides just mowing grass, we should consider it.
Okay.
So that bullet can stay the same.
Yeah. Community and growth design. Is that where we are?
Yeah, and I tell you that everything that's in there speaks against Airbnb.
And I said, why did I write this? I wrote decrease verbiage and I put an arrow all the way down to the last two bullet points, I think. Just there's too much wordage in there.
Are we in design principles now? Did we skip that community growth and design section?
I don't know. I'm reading the other part.
I mean, everything about it is good, but.
What, under community growth and design?
Yeah. And everything in it talks against Airbnbs. This, as it relates to all surrounding properties, I remember Market Street wanting to expand and it being not because where they wanted to expand were residential by character. And if you have a residential area, you shouldn't put commercial in it. you know, so we didn't allow that.
Or was that Proposal Street or?
Yeah, whoever owns it also owned the property behind it, which was a residential property with other homes there, and basically meant to go into their own property, their own backyard, changing the zoning from R3 to commercial.
Okay.
But it was thought, you know, because you reckon the residential character. And again, you know, the other hat to keep on is everything that we're doing is not only Old Town, but it's also across 7th. And that's hard to keep in your head a lot of times, because that was a laid out engineered design.
So the automobile should not be the dominant force that dictates the layout and design of residential communities. Do we really need to put that in there?
Yes.
Well, if we're going to grow anymore, like in Scott's Gardens.
I wouldn't want to see Fireman's Field be a parking lot. I'd rather see it be a summer farmer's market.
You talking about down here? Fireman's Field.
The hill.
Oh, you mean where my son's going to build a house in front of?
Yeah, somebody told me when I moved here that somebody had come in to put in a rack of townhouses, and that got defeated. But I don't know. I haven't heard anybody else come.
I guess I'm going to have a hard time with this one.
Why?
Because my son's going to build a house right in front of it.
Is it on his own property?
The corner of Cooper and Caroline.
Then he should.
He will.
I think all the bullet up above at the top of page 2 is saying is, you know, town-owned land suggests there are opportunities for additional community uses. That's all it's saying.
Maybe another way of looking at it is we can affect 175 or even more than one subdivision by using this as our rationale.
Yeah, that's the
term. Every time we come in, the only rationale we have is it's my property. Why can't I live in America? Why can't I do with it as I will?
Mm-hmm.
All right. But if you read this and you write policies based on this, that's the reason why you don't do it. Okay. You bought 10,000 square feet and you have a house on it, and you have a garage and you have a driveway, and you can occupy 50% of the ground, staying away from your neighbors left, right, and center. That's what you're allowed to do on that lot.
Okay, then those two bullet points are good. Now, I'm not sure about the automobile thing, but then the first one, the natural features. You say the autumn. Well, no, that probably should stay in there because if you don't want parking lots, that certainly would be.
Well,
I mean, not that we don't want them, but it just shouldn't be the criteria for having it.
Yeah, I mean, in a nation where everybody's first words out of their mouth is, I want to be safe, I don't know how you can say residential streets should be narrow and discourage through traffic and you're going to try to get emergency vehicles down. It's a practical matter.
And just right. When you have narrow streets and you got parking on the streets,
look at what you're creating blind spots. There's narrow streets.
Right. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Can't park on them. You pour less blacktop. Yeah. Did save the environment? I don't know. Save the developer. I don't have a lot of road building. Okay. To the point where if somebody doesn't obey the law and they park on both sides of the street, you never get an emergency vehicle down there. All right.
Right.
And the cul-de-sac turn around fire vehicle may have worked when you had two horses pulling a tank. I don't know about the stuff that has a 60-foot ladder on it. All right. And the first time there's an issue that you can't do it, and the town had policies that enabled that to occur, you know.
Right.
And our job here is playing defense with the town.
Yeah. Because, you know, I mean.
So could we take the automobile out of it?
I think we take.
And just start with the.
I'm going to put a big question mark.
Street should be, I don't know, narrow, discourage traffic by, and continue whatever that phrase is. Be well landscaped, shade trees.
Breakfast. I also love to know what part of the market they live in.
I'm going to put a big question mark next to narrow.
Yeah.
Well, you can take narrow out of there. I mean, because we.
It may not be the best.
My street's narrow.
And that may be looking at 150.
Mine too.
I'm guessing.
I got the ruts in my. I got the ruts in the side of my grass to show you. Trash truck and truck drivers can't drive on the blacktop.
Okay, the thoroughfare of the town, basically, and you do two cars don't go.
Yeah.
Well, two can, but two big pickup trucks with these big mirrors. Yeah.
It talks about too with streets in general, whether they're wide or narrow. Some more thought and investment funding.
Where are you? Need,
I guess the last sentence of that bullet on the next page. Page three.
Yeah. Traffic says, well landscape with shade trees.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In view of their visual and functional importance, thought and investment in landscape and streetscape design should be evident. I mean, I think that's important too.
Important. Can we just narrow it down?
I'm just saying that the idea and the funding for landscape and streetscape design is important.
Landscape, streetscape design should be a high consideration.
But I don't even know if we need to get into changing any of that. I'm highlighting it.
Well, again, if you read what we have for parking lots, current, just nobody's done it. Right. But it demands so many spots, and then you have an island.
Yeah, trees and landscape.
We don't have stadium parking permitted.
We don't.
It's just an existence. Thank God.
No problem with.
I can tell
visual
you
visual screens or buffers.
Ursula, some of our waterfront parks. There are some neighbors of waterfront parks that don't want to see shade and visual screens or buffers planted.
I already know that.
I already know who it is.
I'm just saying in general, right?
I understand.
I look across the river. And it's chainsaw city.
Trees all over the place.
Oh, not in front of the houses.
Oh, no.
From the house to the water. Yeah.
Because, and we get it, the million-dollar views. We understand.
That's all right. I can sit upstairs in my bedroom and look out.
What street are you on?
I'm second house to the end on Baltimore Street. So I have a fairly decent water view. I look out the side, or I go upstairs and I can see the sunrise. And yeah, it's fine. So all that wordy stuff we're going to leave in there, correct? Is that what you're telling me?
No, I'm not. Just bringing, you know, some of the struggles we have, that's all.
It's my struggles, I guess, but
we say, you know.
I mean, what's going to cost to print this thing up?
Beautify our parks. And really, if you look at Avalon Park, down where we invested in that stage, it'd be really nice to have some shade trees.
Uh-huh.
Right where we put our trees to sit down and watch music.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Because it can get really hot.
Uh-huh.
And all the vendors set up on the water side, they were roosting.
Yeah. They all want to be on the tree side. Vendors, you know, so anyway.
Yeah. Like I said, they talk about green all the time. And I don't know that you're going to make any special plans for that anymore. By now, you know, I mean, in 2008, I understand. But 12 years later.
I think, again, getting into the you know, investing in streetscape design, just I think we need to invest in tree care. One thing I've noticed is all the ash trees that just got hit with the emerald ash borer just in the past year or two. Yeah. How that's changed how the town looks.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to cut them down because they're dead and they're really dangerous. And the branches are falling off. And, you know, wherever the town road right away is.
What are they going to do? The one down Footlog.
There's the one at Footlog that's on our list.
Yeah, I mean, so just, the limbs are falling.
Yeah.
Okay.
Through the roots.
How can we take that bullet point right there and condense it a little bit? The substantial landscaping should be included in common open spaces. We eliminate that and just say landscaping should provide shade, shelter from wind, visual screens and buffers. Especially for parking lots, loading areas, so in dumpster we could take some of that out, whatever. I'm trying to condense this a little bit.
Well, that sentence is probably
all we need.
Well, no, is reiterating the second. It's can you write a policy about parking where you want to protect the views with just the one line, with just the one sentence?
I think it's talking, that bullet's talking about two things.
Yeah.
Got parking lots, loading areas, dumpsters, utility structures. That's the first bullet point I'm reading. Landscaping also separates and buffers incompatible land, such as commercial buildings, loading areas.
And like you said, I mean, we have a landscaping section, at least for parking lots. I don't know if we have our own separate landscaping section just for incompatible land uses, like C1. C1 next to R3, yeah. For example.
And part of it is that the only time it's a real problem are the dumpsters for the marinas and the restaurants.
Right.
Okay. And my God, they're in the highly developed zone. So,
although, and we didn't put anything in the zoning ordinance changes for this, but what triggers a site plan requirement in not just the C1, but maybe even in the RR, the shoreline recreation residential? If you're just, say your new development's over 500 or 1,000 square feet, then you have to do some screening, right? I mean, maybe that would be a change down the road to consider.
Since you brought that up, a point for everybody to remember would be something else. People are beating themselves up by incrementally expanding things. And this has a lot to do with 5,000 square feet to require a water plant.
Stormwater management,
Management plan. Mm-hmm. Somehow there's got to be a running tally.
Yeah, cumulative.
You don't come in for 1,000 here and 1,000 there, and pretty soon you're over 5,000 square feet, except you never trigger the plan. And yet you cause more than 5,000 feet worth of disturbance. And we have a mess on our hands because of stormwater.
And we could consider, and it probably goes back to the stormwater ordinance, but it does get back to land use too. If we wanted to require a stormwater management plan for 2,000 square feet of disturbance, we could.
Yeah.
There's nothing that says we have to stay with 5,000.
But somehow there's not a clock that runs and it keeps adding everything people do.
Mm-hmm.
But they come in for this, they come in for that.
And then a lot of times they do things they don't come in for.
Uh-huh.
But there could be something for that too, like cumulative tracking within a 5-year time period or something.
I'm digressing again. If somebody comes in and says, okay, I want to do this, I want to put this or this on my lot, and we say, okay, does anybody go back out and take a picture after it's done and put it in the pile?
Like a final inspection? It depends on what it is.
A new home, you probably spend the money.
I want to put a shed up. I want to put up a one-car garage. I want to put in a chicken coop back here. Does anybody take a picture? Throw it in a file?
Yes, it's final inspection.
Because if that same person comes back and says, okay, I want to put this just like you're saying, and expanding that.
That probably becomes more important once we consider tracking substantial improvements. Or cumulative improvements.
Yeah, because what happens, they come in for a concrete pad, and now when they come in and put something on top of it, we don't say that it's any more impervious.
Right.
The impervious stays. So they put a roof up on. Then they come in, they put walls on.
Mm-hmm.
Although Airbnb, next year.
Okay. All right.
But that's stuff to think about. Because in my mind, that's considered redevelopment. You're intensifying the existing development. And there could be stormwater or some kind of offset requirements associated with that.
So where are we? I'm lost.
Parking.
Parking.
Oh, I don't know. Do we do anything about landscaping? It's like it says in landscaping is important for public spaces as well as buffering incompatible uses.
It involved, being sensitive to wanting to shorten it up. It really, this has given us the hammer to write the policies.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're never going to rest the leading anything that can give us the opportunity to do it.
So do we want to keep the word parking should not be a dominant site feature?
I like it better to give preference to green space over asphalt and paved parking.
Yeah, like we could probably delete that second sentence. Many examples exist of highly successful shopping areas. Yeah, you could probably just keep that first sentence. Or first two sentences, parking should not be a dominant site feature. Parking areas should be small scale, highly landscape attractive and inviting. Delete the rest, because that's fluff.
You could go on in favor of shade trees, landscape berms, and just keep it with inviting landscape.
Yeah.
How about that? Yeah. Inviting landscape.
We've been talking about signage, when we did a walkability audit around Old Town. Try not to have too much signs, trying to reduce the clutter, trying to have smarter signs, streamline, and maybe have, I guess they call them wayfinding signs, where one sign has three different places on it instead of having three different signs. Yeah.
Whenever possible, it's better to give preference to green space as over asphalt. But I think it just say green space takes precedence over asphalt and paved parking. Should take precedence. Precedence. Press. P-R-E-S. That's D-E-N-C. Okay. What they do is they tell you what it should do, and then it says what it shouldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've got plus minus in one sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Should be informative without being intrusive.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what the star sign is.
I mean, that's kind of like obvious.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to say, have a sign that's like 12 foot tall and 16 foot wide says, this is the Tory house.
Yeah.
No.
Redwin, George Washington slept here.
A lot of verbiage in here. Compatible with the purpose, be clear, concise, and this.
I think we'd be careful with the next one. The whole architecture and styles proposed should be in keeping with the building types and styles
that have evolved in town. Out of it. I mean, they just saying what they said before.
Starting with modern materials.
Yeah, that is redundant.
I like the next one though. Views of the site to and from should be considered.
Where are you there?
The last thought there. The views of the site and from a site should be clearly considered.
And addressed.
Now, when they're talking developers, though, they're talking about going into a subdivision.
It could be a shed on a small lot, I guess. But that's kind of common sense, too. Unless we want to put more thought someday into requirements for
the large scale developer, I'd leave everything, because when we sit down, that's a subdivision. That's you really want to lay upon them the bulk
But that variety in housing types and density, I don't know if chapter 150 now allows for that. I'm thinking cluster development over in Scott Gardens. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Question.
Do we keep the architectural harmony in there?
Right.
I'm still on 3 at the bottom. I don't know where you guys are.
We're way ahead of you.
Okay.
Saying is that where you are now is it says large scale development projects and everything after that deals with large scale. And what I would suggest is you leave it there. Well, for large scale because you're in here now with somebody who's going to come in for 200 homes.
Okay.
Okay. So you may as well have as thick a stick as you can.
Okay. All right.
And a question for the group. The logical place to stop?
Yeah, all part right. 2.
And but for the next meeting, mark up the rest of this chapter with your own comments.
Where we stop?
Yeah, no, stop here. We're stopping now.
Access, circulation, and parking design.
And I would tell you, when you're reading that one,
something wrong.
Read 175's parking. It's brutal. I mean, somebody must have had a business putting in parking lots. I mean, it is amazing what's in there. Nobody does it.
Read what was it again? You wanted to
story? 175 about parking.
No,
what is number of stops and how they're made.
We stopped at access circulation parking design.
Yep, you've got it.
Okay.
So next meeting. I have my remarks prepared, but you do need to be 175 on the parking.
Today is the 5th, correct?
Yes. It's got all sorts of planning and plantings and
off-street loading or off-street parking?
Off-street parking.
So that's 175.26.
Okay.
We're not prepared for everyone to come in.
No. What's happened now? It was a moment.
Can I ask a question about we can meeting?
I don't know. I think you guys have to adjourn.
I'm going to adjourn.
Motion.
I'm moving to adjourn.
Oh, okay. I'll second that. In favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye.